From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Another great day, despite the fact that the presentation made by President Trump's national security officials has not been an unmitigated triumph. There had been a lot of assumptions that after the president's statement this morning about what happened last night, the ongoing confrontation with Iran, the aftermath of the killing of Soleimani, there had been a lot of expectation that there would be widespread applause from Congress. Now there's a Republican senator, honestly, a strong Trump supporter, rock-ribbed conservative Republican, who's angry about the nature of the presentation that was made by the Trump national security officials who were supposed to have been given the justification for the killing of Soleimani. We'll get to that. There's also the shocking instance of a Hollywood leftist, big-time Hollywood leftist, who is actually applauding a Nazi. No, I mean, really, full-out Nazi. Why? Because she wants to quote the Nazi in condemning Trump. We will get to that as well. But first up, it's a pleasure on a very, very important subject where he has proven prophetic to welcome back to the show Alex Berenson. Alex, 1 year ago today, released a book which I think was the most important book of 2019. 1919. I'm back 100 years ago.
That'd be impressive.
Yeah, and I can't claim that this is any kind of marijuana lapse. Alex Berenson's book is called Tell Your Children, The Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. It came out 1 year ago, and honestly, it's changed the world because I think that there are, since your book's release, there is more and more press coverage, particularly in USA Today, about the problem represented by marijuana in our society and by this push to legalize marijuana. Let me ask you this. The statistics on vaping that I was just reading, it was something I didn't know about. I really didn't. But we have all of these cases, literally hundreds of cases of people dying, getting very seriously ill from vaping. What is it they're vaping there, Alex?
So they're vaping THC almost always, which is the active compound in cannabis, the chemical that gets you high. And as Jane O'Donnell, who's at USA Today and has done really good work in the last few months on this, pointed out very recently, once the public health authorities said, hey, this is really about vaping THC and not vaping nicotine, and this does not appear to be nearly as related to vaping nicotine, the media lost interest in it. It is stunning to me. Now, Jane's done really good work, and I'm very glad that she's taken up the fight, but it is stunning to me the way the media, you know, for whatever reason, doesn't want to report anything negative about cannabis. And very slowly, there are beginning to be some cracks in that. The Wall Street Journal's opinion page wrote a big editorial saying that legalization shouldn't move forward right now. The Providence Journal in Rhode Island did the same thing. So people are starting to pay a little bit of attention to the real public health problems associated here. But the mainstream media, my old newspaper, the New York Times, the Washington Post is a terrible offender with this. They want to write these nonsense stories about how wonderful cannabis is. And I truly don't understand it.
Okay. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. In terms of the vaping, take us, because I don't think I'm the only one out there, but I may be one of the few. I've never been around somebody vaping. I don't know about vaping. How does it work for somebody to vape THC, and how widespread is the damage to people from vaping THC?
So great question. So vaping THC is just like vaping nicotine. It's a liquid. And you heat it up and you inhale it. And like nicotine vaping, you can do it off a very small device. That's really not, the small ones are not much larger than a flash drive. and they're very discreet, and there's no odor to it. It's not, you know, you think of cannabis, obviously skunk weed, you think of cannabis as having a strong odor, but that odor is actually not from THC. It's from other chemicals in the plant called terpenes, which have a distinct smell to them. THC is odorless. So teenagers who are, you know, who want to use in school, those who do want to use in school, find this an incredibly discreet way to be high the whole day. And that's why they like it so much. And, you know, even compared to alcohol, if you were drinking all day, every day in school, you know, if you brought a little flask of vodka, it would be obvious to the teachers, but you can get away with going through your day stoned.
And how many people are we talking about who have actually had problems with vaping THC?
So several hundred people have had, at least several hundred have had what's called vaping-associated lung illnesses, and more than 50 have died is the most recent number. Now, I to be honest, I haven't seen the most recent data, so that's from about a month ago. So it may have gone up some since then, although it appears that the worst of the epidemic may be over, although we're not even sure about that. We're not sure why. We're not sure how long it was going on. It's possible that this was going on for a while before doctors noticed it. It's possible that, you know, it's still happening. We're just not seeing it as, it's just not being reported as much, although that's less likely because doctors are pretty aware of it now. And these are young people who are going into the hospital, and in some cases they need lung transplants. In some cases they die. This is it's a terrible illness. And it's all related to THC vaping.
The figures that I saw were that when it comes to hospitalizations, 83% of the hospitalizations associated with vaping were THC vaping, and only 13% were nicotine.
That seems to be correct, and even that might understate it, because you can sort of believe that there are people out there who wouldn't want to admit they were vaping THC because it's not legal everywhere. Even if they were. So even that figure might understate it. Now, I do have to say this. We still don't know exactly what's causing this. It might be an additive in the vaping product rather than the THC itself. I think the industry, you know, which I like to call Psychosis Inc., because obviously another side effect of vaping THC or using cannabis can be mental illness, and that's really what my book is all about. The industry likes to say, "Oh, if we just regulated this, this wouldn't be a problem. There'd be no vaping illness." Now, that is clearly untrue, because this has happened in states like Oregon and California, where cannabis is legal, and it's happened to people who have only bought products in legal stores that have been tested. So the idea that if we just regulated this, it would go away is not true.
This is extraordinarily important, because I know a lot of people, when it comes to vaping, there's talk of regulating some of the fruity flavors to vaping because they appeal particularly to kids and to underage kids who shouldn't be vaping. Everybody agrees.
Yeah.
But do people who are vaping THC, they don't have the same need or desire for raspberry flavored THC,
right.
Do they?
No, I think they're generally vaping, specifically to get high.
Right.
And again, in many cases when they're young, doing it because it's very discreet. And by the way, there's a really interesting, complicated argument about vaping nicotine, right? And that has to do with the fact that nicotine itself isn't that toxic, whereas smoking cigarettes, you know, you can get lung cancer, there's tar in cigarettes. And so there are people out there, with reasonable people, who argue vaping nicotine is something we should be encouraging smokers to do. But what's interesting is that it's exactly the opposite with cannabis. Smoking cannabis, believe it or not, has never been shown to cause lung cancer, even though cannabis has tars in it like nicotine, for whatever, or like tobacco. It doesn't seem to be as toxic to the lungs. Maybe people just use less of it. We don't know. But THC is all by itself a potent neurotoxin.
Which is so, so important for people to have that information.
That's right.
Let's go, if we can, to Daniel. Daniel is calling in with some personal experience. Daniel, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Tacoma.
Great. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've had a few different episodes of psychosis in my life where heavy marijuana use triggered psychosis, where I start to think and believe things that aren't real. And This last time I actually committed a pretty serious crime and ruined my life, and I'm now incarcerated, but I think that it should be illegal, and I used to be an advocate for legal marijuana, and now I think it's just a horrible idea. And
wait, are you currently incarcerated?
Correct, yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to the show. I'm so sorry to hear. What how long is your term?
I have a life sentence. It's pretty horrible situation. Every day that goes by, I think about, you know, what effects drugs have had on me and my life, and I just wish I could hopefully, you know, speak out about it and try to turn people away from it.
Alex Berenson?
I'm taken aback. I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm amazed that you're able to call us. And it sounds like you're telling the truth and you're not trying to, you know, I don't know what, but I'm very sorry to hear about what happened.
Yeah. And a life sentence would probably mean a truly horrendous and violent crime. And, Daniel, I wish you, I don't want to say the best, but what you're talking about is your experiences. Appreciate your candor here. In terms of what he's talking about, one of the things in your book, when people know that drinking to excess can lead to all kinds of propensities to violence, bad driving, terrible things. One of the things in your book, Tell Your Children, that it makes clear is that, yes, that can also be the case with smoking marijuana to excess or eating edibles to excess. Explain.
Yeah. So, and by the way, I wish we'd been able to sort of talk to Daniel off the air, because I really would have liked to ask him more questions. It's so strange that he would be able to call us from a prison so quickly. I don't know about you. I was a tiny bit nervous about pursuing it in case it was some kind of strange hoax, because the cannabis advocacy community likes to embarrass me.
Of course, and that's, like that was my reaction too. The one thing is, we do have prisoners who listen to this show, and this is not the first time. And people where I know, because they get follow up letters, and who are real prisoners, and apparently it's more possible today for the incarcerated to make telephone communication. Though I think calling a show live would be unusual, but go ahead.
Yes. So in any case, and by the way, I do hear, you know, from a lot of families, especially parents whose adult children or teenage children have become psychotic and in some cases violent. And I'm always very careful to follow up with them, and, you know, ask them questions. And I mean, for the most part, people are not, you know, poaxing or lying about this stuff. They take it seriously, but it's something you have to be careful about. In any case, to go back to the issue around cannabis and violence, cannabis, we know, can cause temporary psychosis in people. Psychosis is, you know, it's a condition where you become paranoid, you can have delusions, you can have hallucinations. You have some kind of break from reality that psychiatrists can diagnose. And that condition, unfortunately, is very associated with violence, as you might expect, in that if you're delusional, if you think people are out to hurt you, in some cases, you might hurt them first. And there is increasing evidence that cannabis use is associated with violence, and especially severe violence. In fact, just this week, a paper came out and it's peer-reviewed. It's in a journal called Injury Epidemiology, where a couple of scientists looked at trends in alcohol and cannabis in the victims of homicide. And, you know, obviously those are victims and not perpetrators, but we actually have better data on victims because their blood is often tested after death. And what they found, and this is amazing to me, even though I know that cannabis can be linked to violence, cannabis is now more common, THC is now more common in the blood of people who've been killed than alcohol is. Between 2004 and 2016, the percentage almost doubled to 42%, and that's more than alcohol. So everybody out there who's ever been in a bar knows that alcohol can disinhibit people, it can make people violent, it can escalate fights. It is unfortunately true that cannabis actually appears to be in some ways even more criminogenic than alcohol.
And I know that one of the things that we were talking about yesterday was a depression and suicide and all kinds of negative behaviors have become increasingly associated with teenage years. Americans between the ages of 10 and 24, where yes. It's the second leading cause of death right after accidents. In terms of the psychotic impact of extensive marijuana use, there was a piece, I think it was earlier this week, about the difficulty in finding qualified therapists who can help treat young people who are suffering from cannabis addiction.
So Jane wrote that. I mean, this is sort of a wave that is catching, the rehab industry and a lot of psychiatrists off guard. I got into this because my wife, who's a forensic psychiatrist, was seeing a lot of cases of heavy cannabis use leading to psychosis and violence. But I think a lot of psychiatrists and a lot of people in the rehab industry have been very focused on opioids, which is understandable because opioids kill a lot of people and they're very dangerous. And they haven't really caught up to what's happening. And the other thing that's complicated is that even rehab facilities, you'll get what's called a dual diagnosis, which means you have some kind of underlying mental illness as well as an addiction. And these rehab facilities don't want to deal with people who have both an underlying illness, because those people are a lot more complicated to deal with than somebody who's just a drug addict.
Because we're running out of time, I wanted to mention something to you, and it's something that I just experienced. There's a film coming out, it's going to be released on Friday, and it makes a very prominent joke at the very beginning of the film about a blunt and a newborn baby, and a newborn baby being exposed and benefiting from cannabis, from marijuana, from a smoking joint that's dropped into the crib. It's just one of those things. Hollywood has taken so much grief over showing cigarettes and promoting cigarette use over the years. What about something like that? Isn't it shocking to you?
It's disgusting to me. It's shocking and disgusting to me. The fact is that there is no drug more associated with severe child abuse, child neglect, and child death than cannabis. And people don't believe me when I say that. I have statistics from Texas. I have statistics from Arizona. Every state that looks at this practically finds that cannabis is the number one drug associated with child abuse and child death, more than alcohol, more than the opioids, more than cocaine or methamphetamine. The idea that this is something that parents of young children should be using is just, if there's one thing that needs to stop right now, it's that.
Well, it's also the baby supposed to be happy and to like the smell of it and inhaling the smoke. This is, by the way, one of the worst films of the year, and the year just started. I'm talking to Alex Berenson. Alex, what's next? Are you working on a follow-up book Tell Your Children, which was a massive bestseller, and I think every home in America should buy it, by the way. It's linked at our website.
Well, thank you for that. I am working on a follow-up about sort of broader issues around drugs and drug decriminalization and legalization, because as I'm sure you know, the idea of decriminalizing all drugs has become increasingly prominent in the academic left, and now it's spreading to serious Democratic presidential candidates like Pete Buttigieg, and I think that we need to have a philosophical discussion about that.
Do we ever? And would you come back again? It shouldn't be a year; it should be soon. Alex Berenson's book is one of the most important books of our time. It's really, really that significant. It's called Tell Your Children. It's posted to the website, michaelmedved.com. We'll come back with another shocking example of cats and marijuana. And on the Michael Medved Show, it's always sobering, and I mean that in the best possible way. most constructive possible way to talk to Alex Berenson about the dangers of marijuana. But there's a gigantic piece in the Washington Post, in the style section of the Washington Post, about some people who are finding a new use for marijuana. No, really, which might, well, the headline in the piece by Maura Judkis says that people are going to a certain film while high out of their minds. And she interviews a bunch of people who have had that experience. What film are we talking about? Well, it's the current smash hit that sounds like this.
Touch me, it's so easy to leave me all alone with the memory of my days in the sun.
Okay, that's real. That's a clip from the film Cats. That's Jennifer Hudson, meow.
Look, a new day has begun.
Yeah, and I can imagine that people... do we have more, Jeremy?
Tonight is a magical night.
Going to the ball could get dangerous.
Let's dance!
Yeah, Cats, as I mentioned, is the... certainly for me, it's the worst film of the century so far.
Let's dance!
But the piece in the Washington Post says the big screen adaptation of Andrew Lloyd Webber's famous feline musical has been making news for all the wrong reasons, causing a gleeful feeding frenzy of criticism. As a cinematic fiasco, Cats became alluring in unintended ways. Sarah and her roommate, Sarah's a 26-year-old audiovisual producer from Louisville, decided that the movie could be worth their while with the right preparations. So they each ate a chocolate candy infused with 5 milligrams of cannabis. They didn't feel anything after a while, so they smoked a bit too. Uh-huh. Then they arrived at the theater and settled into their seats. "I'm feeling kind of okay at that point," Sarah says. "Like, maybe I can get through this." Well, mate, could only help. People walk out. They do. I mean, this is, and a lot of people ask for their money's back with this particular film. "Then just at the first frame of the movie came up, I feel like a spot on the center of my forehead light up and start tingling, and it radiates throughout my whole body. And I was like, oh God, can I do this?" Okay, then they say, "To be clear, the Washington Post does not endorse illicit drug use. And for most people, Cats is unnerving enough sober." It tells the story of a group of singing, dancing alley cats who compete for the chance to go to the Heaviside Layer, a metaphor for death and rebirth into the next of their 9 lives. Critics have described the movie adaptation, which features a parade of superstars, Judi Dench, Ian McKellen, Taylor Swift, Jennifer Hudson, James Corden, and Rebel Wilson, and others, as rendered as uncanny human-cat hybrids, as a feverish drug dream, a bad trip. It is expected to lose more than $100 million, according to Variety.
"I judge a cat by its soul."
"I've got plenty of soul."
"We're about to begin."
"I love it."
That's Idris Elba, who regrets that he ever participated. But those reviews have been a siren call for people who believe they know how to salvage an irretrievably weird movie, at least for themselves. They do drugs first. "Hundreds of people," she writes, "told the Post their stories about seeing Cats while high, some on marijuana, others on psilocybin, mushrooms, LSD, and other mind-altering substances. This is really scary. This is the end of civilization." I mean, if people... I mean, if the combined impact of LSD and Cats, here are their reviews. "The most terrifying experience of my life. I swear to God, my soul escaped me." Then another person says, "Cried both times, planning on going 2 more times. Then another person says, "Vomited 4 times, but ultimately understood the film on a deeper level." I guess after vomiting 4 times, maybe. "Had a panic attack in the middle of it right after Taylor Swift sang McCavity." And then one more review. When Judi Dench turned and looked me directly in the eyes to let me know that a cat is not a dog, I was terrified, really scared. It was unclear on balance whether getting high made cats better or much, much worse. That would be hard. Certainly, it seemed to raise the emotional stakes. What emotional stakes are there in watching that movie anyway? One person reported bursting into tears even before the film started during a trailer for Trolls World Tour. Annalisa Nielsen, who owns a cannabis brand in Los Angeles, used a strain of weed calibrated for relaxation, but found herself unable to relax. She said, "I'm 36, and announced I'm scared to my fellow moviegoers at least 7 times, says Nielsen, who called the film a special kind of evil. That's fairly remarkable. Charlotte Clymer, 33, an LGBTQ activist in Washington, ate THC-infused gummy candies before her screening and also found the movie terrifying. 3/4 of the way through the movie, I was like, I hope I don't hate my own cats when I get home. I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, there's something really wrong in the country right now when people are having this kind of reaction to this particularly awful movie on drugs, want to come back and do it again and again. Raina, a 25-year-old from South Carolina, also ate gummies. She could not get past the mismatched proportions of the cats in the film. Sometimes they were cat-sized, sometimes they were human-sized, and sometimes they appeared to be the size of mice. She made it 10 minutes, she says, and then I went to the AMC bathroom and threw up. it's still playing in Seattle, right? I mean, it's still playing around. But only if you're high, right?
Memories were lost long ago. But at least you have beautiful clothes.
At least you have beautiful clothes. Okay, Sarah says, I felt like I was losing my mind. I was just concentrating on taking deep breaths. But then there are people for whom Cats Under the Influence was positively moving. Kate 31, a medical researcher in Chicago, says, I had a realization partway through that I am the only person in the world who understands cats. It could be. She is now plotting a cats-based doctoral thesis. She would examine the class dialectic of 1930s London, the late 80s heyday of Andrew Lloyd Webber, and police brutality in 2019. It doesn't sound as groundbreaking now, Kate says, but please remember, I was very stoned. Finally, in Seattle, a 26-year-old teacher named Dan ate a 20-milligram THC caramel and popped on his headphones to see if cats would sync up with Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon, just like The Wizard of Oz is supposed to do, according to stoner lore. If you spin the album twice, Dan reports, Ian McKellen's performance of Gus the Theater Cat aligns perfectly with the great gig in the sky. Could Cats, dead on arrival with critics and mass audiences, ascend to the Heaviside layer to be reborn as a stoner classic? Can we hope not? This would be... There's talk the movie could be the next Rocky Horror Picture Show. Don't count it out. This is a strange country. And we have a really shocking reaction by Senator Mike Lee to the briefing he just heard. And we will get to your calls coming right up on the Medved Show. We'll be right back.
Look, a new day has begun.
On the Michael Medved Show, look, I don't find it surprising at all that Democrats like Jerry Conley and Ro Khanna and many of the other Democrats who've stepped forward and complained about the briefing today by the White House security team, that that briefing was lacking. I mean, you expect that. They're Democrats. That's what they do. That's kind of their job, right? And I do think it's unfortunate. I think that a congressional resolution's trying to rein in the president's war powers when things appear to be going in America's direction, and they do. And yes, going in America's direction means going in Trump's direction. However, I take it more seriously when Mike Lee of Utah, who has been a friend of this show and something of a personal friend, he's a good writer, by the way, and he's one of the most thoughtful and one of the most conservative U.S. senators by any measure. His voting record and his legislative record has been strongly conservative on everything. And Mike Lee was critical of the briefing the Senate received from the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, and the President's National Security Advisor, Robert O'Brien. Listen.
I still haven't had the questions answered that I came into that briefing expecting to ask. They left after 75 minutes. Now, I understand these are busy people. They've got a lot of demands on their time. They're appearing before a coordinate branch of government, a coordinate branch of government responsible for their funding, for their confirmation, for any approval of any military action they might undertake. And they had to leave after 75 minutes while they're in the process of telling us that we need to be good little boys and girls and run along and not debate this in public. I find that absolutely insane. I think it's unacceptable. And so I don't know what they had in mind. I went in there hoping to get more specifics as far as the factual, legal, moral justification for what they did. I'm still undecided on that issue, in part because we never got to the details. Every time we got close, they'd say, well, we can't discuss that here because it's really sensitive. We're in a skiff. We're in a secure underground bunker where all electronic devices have to be checked at the door, and they still refuse to tell us. I find that really upsetting.
If Mike Lee is upset, Rand Paul, we know, is upset. But look, this is a U.S. Senate. And they got to do a better job. They do. But they already are doing a better job than Joy Behar, who actually wins, well, not an Oscar, but a Golden Turkey Award.
Bigger than the Academy Awards.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank God.
Groovier than the Grammys.
I would like to thank my wonderful agent.
And more powerful than the People's Choice.
I would like to share this with every single senator.
Now, it's time for another Golden Turkey Award nomination.
Woohoo! Thank you so much!
Okay, Joy Behar, one of the hosts of The View, of course, was on today. And she decided to quote an unusual source attacking Trump on the killing of Soleimani. The source is Richard Spencer, who's one of America's most prominent Nazis. Now, he, of course, loves Soleimani because Soleimani's one of his main jobs in the world is hating and killing Jews. And what's amazing to me, it's not only the stupidity of Joy Behar, but the applause of the audience. Listen to this.
There was one small thing. You were saying, what's some good news? This is a tiny thing that I noticed. You remember Richard Spencer? He's basically the organizer of Unite the Right,
lunatic,
the white nationalist group that was marching in Charlottesville. It was all in for Trump. Not anymore. Here's his quote. He tweeted last night, I deeply regret voting for and promoting Donald Trump in 2016.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I mean, that's good. That's interesting.
Do you know why?
Well, because Trump, like I said yesterday,
right?
Trump ran on not invading and not being a warmonger.
That's what I'm talking about. This was
No, that's not why Richard Spencer. It's that Richard Spencer likes Islamic terrorists who he does. Who are profoundly anti-Israel, because it's all about, I can't believe they're applauding. Wow. Welcome. Welcome to the left, Richard Spencer. It's where he belongs anyway. And I think this is that's a great development for President Trump. If he has lost Richard Spencer and he says he regrets voting for him, then that's a very, very good sign, it seems to me. Let me go very quickly to Rick in Graham, Washington. Rick, you're on the Medved Show.
Hi, Michael.
Hey.
Yeah, I was listening to your deal about the Cats movie there. Man, it sounds like the result of a bunch of snowflakes smoking dope and watching a stupid movie. I was laughing what the comments those people were making about that.
No, of course. But again, it's a part of what I think it shows is that if people actually are so bored with their lives that you have to get stoned and then see a movie that everyone in the world knows to be unspeakably awful. And by the way, Rick, you're not considering going out and seeing Cats, are you?
Oh, not a million years.
Okay,
I don't think I could smoke enough dope to make that movie satisfying.
I think that is true, and that's a public service announcement. Hey, thanks a lot for calling and listening. Okay, there is a movie out there. It's a big alternative to Cats. It's actually one of the better movies of last year, and it's just opening wide coming up this weekend. And it's about a true story about a real American hero that you may not have heard about. His name is Bryan Stevenson. Listen.
Now, it's time for Medved on Movies.
Bryan Stevenson is a modern hero, a Harvard-trained lawyer who's devoted his life to rescuing innocent men from death row. His true story is memorably brought to life by Michael B. Jordan in Just Mercy.
Your life is still meaningful, and I'm going to do everything possible to keep them from taking it.
You only know what you're into down here in Alabama when you're guilty from the moment you're born.
That's Oscar winner Jamie Foxx, who's outstanding playing one of Stevenson's actual clients, who in fact had no connection whatever to the crime for which he's been condemned to die. Brie Larson plays one of the main character's associates who tries to help him in his work for justice.
I was just about to give up when I got a call from a Harvard lawyer looking to start a legal center for inmates on death row. I was in before he even offered me the job.
Most lawyers barely make time to call.
If you go digging in those wounds, you're going to be making a lot of people very unhappy.
Each of us is more than the worst thing that we've ever done.
We all need grace. We all need mercy.
Gifted director and co-writer Destin Daniel Cretton gives stirring attention to the timeless Christian values that motivate his hero. And though the film strongly attempts to persuade you of its anti-death penalty position, it mostly prioritizes high drama over propaganda. All the characterizations are strong, but Jamie Foxx is particularly outstanding. It's rated PG-13, despite an intense and detailed recreation of an execution by electric chair that's truly harrowing to watch. 3 stars for the moving and thought-provoking Just Mercy.
For more movie reviews, go to michaelmedved.com.
And Just Mercy is one of 2 movies that are out at the very end of last year and just beginning to open wide across the country. The other one is called A Hidden Life. They're both about real people who were motivated to do extraordinary things by Christian faith. And no, they're not movies that are made by any religious organizations, but they are movies that actually recognize the importance of some timeless values. Speaking of timeless values, there's been an attempt by a McDonald's in California to try to get homeless people off the premises. And so what are they using? Bagpipes. Bagpipes? How's it working? We will report on that tomorrow. Also, in light of the confrontation with Iran, the case for killer robots for military purposes. All next time in this greatest nation on God's green earth.